سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، Islam is the deen of Allah. Allah sent the deen, His law, His shariat to us through the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Whenever Allah sent His deen to the people, what we saw in history was the fact that it came from Allah, but it became the handiwork of the people. And hence, people throughout history, whatever Allah sent, they made it different than what it was and attributed it to the person who they heard it from. For example, when Allah sent the Shariat to Musa, and Musa gave it to the people, you see that the people don't say this is the law of God. They say this is the law of Moses. That the law of Moses is being done like this. In other words, that it's Moses' law that we are practicing. And they tried to do the same thing with Islam. Because they have done it with their own religions, now when they teach Islam, they don't say this is Allah's law that is being taught, or that Allah says this, or this is the Shariat of Allah. They say what this is? Muhammadan law. Meaning that this law belongs to the Prophet. He gave this law. But when we look at our teachings and when we look at our ideology in Islam, we see that the Prophet had nothing to do with the law. The law is made by Allah. He is the one who wrote the law. He is the one who willed the law. And this law, no one has any interference in making that law. That has to be made clear. That's why when the Prophet, when he practiced Islam, he made it clear that he is not the lawmaker, but he is the follower of the law. He is the follower of the law. That's why before anything that confusion can arise, before any sort of doubt can arise in the minds of followers, in the minds of Muslims, before anything like that could happen, Rasulullah announced clearly that ana awwalul muslimin, I am the first one to submit to the law. Meaning I am not above the law, but I am a follower of the law. Because you see, the one who makes the law is always above the law. Understand this principle. Anyone who makes any law is above the law. For example, if you make a law in your house, you being the head of the household, make a law. You'll see that everyone else who's under you have to obey that law. But because you made the law, you are above the law, meaning that you can change the law whenever you want to, because you made it. It came from you. Just like that, any body that makes a law, for example, Congress. When Congress makes the law, we need to understand that because they're the lawmaker, then Congress is above the law. Congress is above the law. You cannot say that because they make the law, they have to follow the law. No. As an individual congressman, they are under the law. But as a body of Congress, it is above the law. Meaning that when they don't like this, they can change it. When they are not happy with it, they can change it. The fact is that they are, as a body, above the law. Anyone who makes the law is above the law. If Rasulullah had made the law, then he would be above the law and would change it whenever he wants to. But Rasulullah let everyone know that I am the first to submit to this law. Ana awwalul muslimin. That I am not the maker of the law, I am the follower of the law. The maker is someone else, that is Allah. That is Allah. So this has to be made clear. And then Allah says in the Quran, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكَ عَلَىٰ شَرِيعَةٍ فَاتَّبِعْهَا. He tells the Prophet, we have put you on a shari'at, so obey it. In other words, your job is to obey what I send you. Your job is to do what I tell you. Your job is to not to make the law. Your job is not to make your rules and laws. So when it comes to Rasulullah even, my friends, when it comes to him also, the fact is that he is a follower of the law. He did not make the law. So if you understood till there, now let me go to the next point. If that is the case, then when we say, how do you know the Shariat? How do you know haram and halal? If I ask you as a Muslim, as a mu'min, where did you get haram and halal from? What will you say? You can tell me, what will you say? That you got it from Rasulullah. You got it from the Prophet. Meaning that whatever he said is Islam, whatever he did is Islam. How do you know what Islam says? You looked at the Prophet, and if he said something, this is Islam. If he said this is wajib, it's Islam. If he says this is haram, it's Islam. If he did something, then you do it. If he didn't do something, you didn't do it. So whatever his actions were, became Islam. So if Rasulullah's sayings and actions are Islam, then what do we mean that Allah is the maker of the law and not Rasulullah? Because we are learning Islam from Rasulullah. Whatever he does is Islam. Whatever he says haram is haram. So what do we mean when we say that Allah is the one who made the law, Rasulullah doesn't interfere in the law, he just follows the law? You see the question? Now, slowly and slowly I want to take you somewhere, and so I want to make you use a little bit of your effort to understand what I'm saying. Because this is very important in our ideology to understand Islam and to gain the ma'arif of Allah subhanahu and Islam subhanahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. My friends, when we say that Rasulullah is the one who gave us Shariat, we don't say that he made the law. What Rasulullah is that his sayings and his actions are telling us of what Allah has made. His actions are saying what Allah has made. His sayings are saying what Allah has made. Meaning when we hear Rasulullah, then all Rasulullah is doing is he is uncovering, discovering to us what Allah had intended for us. So he's not making the law, he's just disclosing it for us. He's just exposing it for us. Just like the Quran. When you read the Quran and you read the word Aqimus Salat, stand up for prayer. Now tell me, Is the prayer wajib because of the word Aqimu Salat? Does the prayer become wajib because of the word Aqimu Salat? Because Allah said Aqimu Salat, and this word Aqimu Salat is there, and that's why it became wajib. Or did the prayer become wajib because Allah made the law and He put it in words, and because of the verse of the Quran we are able to understand what Allah intended? So the Shariat is not made from the Quran. The Quran are just the words that are portraying Allah's intentions. Just like that, Rasulullah's sayings and actions are not the Shariat. They are just portraying what Allah had intended. Both of these things. When you read the Quran doesn't make it wajib. It is Allah who made it wajib. The Quran is just explaining to us what Allah had already decided. Just like that, Rasulullah also, when he does things, he's not making the law. He's just telling us and describing for us what Allah had already intended. Understand that. Now, what is the difference between Quran and Rasulullah? Just make one point here and I'll go on from here. What is the difference between Quran and Rasulullah? Both of them are doing the same thing. The Quran is also telling us what Allah decided, and Rasulullah is also telling us what Allah decided. The only difference is this, my friends. The difference is that in the Quran, you have to use your brain and your mind to understand it. There's an interference of your mind and your brain, because it's just words. You need to interpret that, you need to understand it, you need to comprehend it, and then you can put it in practice. But when it comes to Ahlul Bayt, they will explain to you according to your akal, without you having to use your akal. Without you having to use your reasoning, Ahlul Bayt will tell you that which is according to your reasoning. That is the difference between Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Because the Quran doesn't mean, it can't explain itself. Whatever you understand is what you understand. If you understood wrong, Quran is not responsible for that. But Ahlul Bayt, when they explain this to you, so now they will explain it according to your understanding. If you don't understand it, they'll describe it for you. This is the difference between the two. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. My friends, all Rasulullah is doing what? He is telling us what Allah has intended. He's not making the law. But let me ask you a hypothetical question, weird question, simple question. You know the answer to that. And I'll just ask you this. It would be a stupid question too, right? The question is, I'm sitting on the minbar here. I have gone to the house of the study. I'm a student. And I am telling you something. I'm saying something to you. Why is it that my words that I am saying are not Islam, and that Rasulullah's words are? See, if I say that this is wajib on you, why is it not becoming wajib? If I say it. If I do something, why isn't that becoming Islam? If I don't do something, why isn't that becoming Islam? Why is it that when Rasulullah does something, or Ahlul Bayt do something and say something, becomes Islam? See, my friend, understand this. Why is it? Now, my example was stupid. Now, I'll give you that example. If an Ayatollah comes over here and he does something, he is the marja, why isn't his actions hujjat on us? If he does something, does that mean it's a part of Islam? If he doesn't do something, does it mean that it's not a part of Islam? Understand this, my friends. You see, yes, if he gives a fatwa, it's hujjat on us, that's different. But let's say he does something or does not do something, why can't we just look at his action and say, well, this Ayatollah did this, and hence this is Islam, this is what Allah intended? Why is it that only when Rasulullah does something, only when Ahlul Bayt do something, it becomes hujjat on us that this is Islam. Very simple things, my friend, I'm telling you. The difference is this. If I say something or do something, or if a marja does something, his sayings and his deeds do not become Islam. Why? Because Allah did not guarantee his character. Allah did not guarantee his character. Allah didn't say that, yes, whatever comes out of him is true. There is nothing wrong in him. Allah didn't guarantee anything. When it came to Quran, Allah guaranteed the Quran. ذَلَكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. There is no doubt in this. Quran. So Allah guaranteed it. That whatever you get from it is Islam. When it came to Rasulullah, he says, مَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَا إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. This messenger does not say anything of his own. Whatever he says is a revelation from Allah. That itself is showing that whatever Rasulullah is going to say, it is from Allah. Whatever he's going to do is from Allah. This is what is guaranteeing that whatever comes out of Rasulullah is Islam. Whatever he does is Islam. Whatever he doesn't do is Islam. And then when it came to Ahlul Bayt, he says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. That these Ahlul Bayt, they don't even intend except that Allah intends for them. They don't even make irada except that Allah makes irada for them. In other words, if they don't make irada without the irada of Allah, if they don't make an intention without the intention of Allah, how can they say something without Allah's intention? In that sense, Allah is saying that, listen, when it comes to Rasulullah, when it comes to Ahlul Bayt, I guarantee whatever comes out of them is Islam. Whatever they do is Islam. Whatever they don't do is Islam. You can look at them and you can do this. You can follow them. It still doesn't mean that they made the law. My friends, what it means is that these Ahlul Bayt, this Prophet, they follow Islam to such an extent that not one iota of difference is there between what Allah intended and what they have done. My friends, really, if you want to know what character is, learn it from this point that I'm just mentioning. What is character? You know, when we do the amal of Laylatul Qadr, and we say, okay, you know what? Open the Quran, put it in your face, say this. Every step of the way, we are telling you what to do. And everyone is doing it exactly according to that. And even when every step is being told to them, still we make mistakes. Still there's something wrong we do. That our actions go against the instructions. Even when we are being instructed, like we are being spoon-fed. Here, do this, still we made mistakes. And this is our character, that even simple instructions is hard for us to follow. There, when you look at the whole life of the Prophet and the Imams, the instructions that Allah had given them, they followed those instructions in such a way that you cannot find even an iota of difference between what they have done and said and between what Allah had intended. This is character, my friends. This is called character. Right? Now, if you understood till here, what I want you to understand, and that is what? That Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet of Allah, he explained Islam to us. Allah wrote the law, and that law was uncovered by the Prophet. Allah gave the law to the Prophet, and the Prophet followed that law until he could explain it to us. This is all I wanted to say in the last 15 minutes. Now if you send me a salawat, I will move forward.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now my friends, from here let us understand. Now let me ask a question to you. Allah, you gave the law to the Prophet, alhamdulillah. The Prophet had the law. Now, what did you intend with this law? Did you want the Prophet to establish the law? Or did you want the Prophet to tell us the law? Simple question, my friends. Did Allah wanted the Prophet to say that, listen, I wrote this beautiful law for mankind. Great law. And I am giving this to you so that you can go and tell the people that this is what Allah wrote. Is the job of the Prophet to give the message and say, this is Allah's law and I am just here to tell you the law? Or is his job also to enforce that law? To enforce that law, to make sure that people practice that law, to make sure that it's established. What is his job? My friends, if Rasulullah's job was just to give the law, then why was there a need to send a prophet in the first place? Allah, there was no need to send a prophet. You could have written the law in the sky and we would have read it. You could have written the law in the desert, we would have read it. You could have inscribed that law in the mountains of Utah, we could have read it. If Allah had inscribed the law here, we said, Alhamdulillah, look, Allah wrote his law here. Very good, beautiful law, you know. What was the need of Rasulullah to come down with the law? Why did the Prophet come down? What was he for? Just a storyteller? You know, here, let me tell you a story, you know, put you to sleep. My friends, if Allah, if you send the law for the islah of mankind and for the islah and rectification of mankind, then if this law is not practiced, what's the use of that law? What's the use of your sharia if it's not practiced? Yes, it's great. It will solve our problems. It will do islah. It will rectify us. But what's the use of that law if we are not going to practice it? If it's not going to be implemented. Look at this, my friend. I'm just raising this question to you so you understand it. Allah, if you just wanted us to listen to the law, there's no need for a prophet to come with the law. Write it in the sky, we will read it for you. And we'll be happy. It will be to our intellectual amusement. You know, we'll look at it and say, haha, subhanallah, wa wa, nare hajri. We would tell that. I mean, that's what we will do. Subhanallah. Great, great. You know, asantum. You know, Allah, you wrote a great law. Excellent reading. Excellent read. You know, I read it overnight. Beautiful. I mean, is the law meant for us to just listen and enjoy, or is the law meant for us to practice so that it could do islah and rectification to human society? My friends, if Allah's intention was just intellectual amusement, then he wouldn't have sent a prophet. He sent the prophet before he sent the law, so that you know that this prophet is not coming to just tell you the law, but he is coming to enforce the law and make sure that it's practiced and implemented. That's what he's coming for. Otherwise, what was the use of Rasulullah? It wouldn't have been useful. The job of Rasulullah is to enforce the law. That's his job. Now, from here, understand this. Rasulullah came so that he can make the law and implement it amongst the people. Now, Allah, if we understood that, and if that's a logical conclusion we came to, then let me ask another question on top of this one. You're with me, right? If you're with me, send me a salawat. Alright. So alhamdulillah, you're with me so far. I'm telling you. Where have we reached? The fact that Rasulullah came to enforce the law, not just to tell the law. Right? To make it practice. Otherwise, there's no use of writing a law that's not going to be practiced. If I tell you in your home, listen, make a good rule for your children that they're not going to practice. You'll say, what? I have nothing else to do in life? Am I that useless that I need to make a law that's not going to be practiced? If Allah's intention was not to have this law practiced, why did He make it in the first place? Allah doesn't do vain things. He made the law to be practiced. And if it's going to be practiced, it needs to be implemented. He sent Rasulullah to implement it. So Rasulullah came to do what? To implement the Shariat of Allah. To implement the law of Allah. That's right? If we are all together on this, now let me ask you one question on top of that. Tell me, can Rasulullah, and as for that matter of fact, anyone in the world, can they implement and enforce any law without having the right of rule and authority? Tell me, my friends, look at it and analyze it. Is there anyone who makes a law that they don't have an authority? You know what? I can go in my basement. Okay, in Florida we don't have basements, yeah? Right? You can go in your basement and write a law and say, you know what? I wrote a beautiful law for the United States of America. Here it is. Tell me, who's going to follow that? And then you know, listen, who's going to listen to you? Who's going to listen to you? No one's going to listen to you. No one's going to enforce that. No one's going to practice that. My friends, until you don't have the authority, until you don't have the haqqe hukumat, the right to rule, there's no way to enforce any law. You have no authority over anyone to enforce any law. So Allah, if you are giving the job of enforcement and implementation to the Prophet, then also give him the haqqe hukumat and the right to rule over the people so that he can enforce that law. If you're not going to give that right to rule, then what's the use of the Quran when it's not going to be enforced on the people, when you're not giving him the authority to enforce it on the people? You're not giving him the authority. So what's the use of this law then? Take it back. If Rasulullah doesn't have the haq to rule over the people, if he doesn't have the right to rule over the people, if he doesn't have that wilayat over the people, then Allah, what's the use of this law? What's the use of this law? How is he going to implement that? How is he going to make people follow that? You can't make people follow anything. Right? Let's say, for example, if you tell the Congress here, hey, listen, Congress, you know, since you have nothing better to do and you're wasting your time arguing with each other, why don't you do all one practice, you know? Make a rule, make a law that no one's going to practice. We'll ask them, go ahead. And you know, we as the people from our taxes will pay you for 3 days. 3 days spent, make a law that we're not going to practice. That no one's going to enforce. That no one's going to implement. Tell me, would they do that? What? What you? Why would we waste our time making a law that no one's going to practice? Why are we going to make a law that no one is going to enforce? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He's coming close. Right? Really close. From yesterday he was closer. Next day he will be right here where I'm sitting. Salawat ala. Alright. So now what happened? If there is no implementation, if there's no enforcement, if there's no executive branch, then Congress is useless. Congress, you can make all the laws you want. If it's not going to be executed, if it's not going to be implemented, then your laws are useless. Who's going to follow them? Congress makes the law, but it's the job of the executive branch to enforce it on the people, to put it into law so that people start obeying it. If you don't have that, there's useless making a law. So Allah, you made a law. You gave it to the Prophet. And you said, enforce it and execute it amongst the people. But Allah, if you did not give him the right to rule over the people, if you did not give him the right of hukumat over the people, then how is he going to do it? If he doesn't have wilayat over us, how is he going to do it? If he has no authority over us, how is he going to implement it? It will be useless. That's why Rasulullah, not only does he have the job of implementing the law, but in order to implement it, he has the right of rule and authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has that right. Otherwise, if he doesn't have the right, then what is, how did he become the ruler? On whose authority did he become the ruler? Did we give him the authority and say, hey, Rasulullah, we'll make you the leader. Go ahead. Or did Allah give him the authority? Where did he get the authority to rule? Where did he get the authority to enforce Allah's law? From us or from Allah? Understand this, he got it from Allah. If Allah didn't give him that right, he had no right to rule. He's disobeying Allah. He's disobeying Allah if he did not have the right to rule and he ruled over the people and enforced Allah's laws. We see that Allah gave him the authority that you have wilayat from me to rule. This is my wilayat on you, that you have the right to rule because I have made you in charge of this law and I have made you to enforce this law on the people. This is Rasulullah, my friends, and this is the law of Allah. If you understood it till here, now if you send me a salawat, I'll move one step forward now.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Okay, Allah, you sent the law and you sent the Prophet to enforce that law. Very well and good. Now, when you send the Prophet, you send the book with him, Alhamdulillah, Quran is the law, you send it with him. He came with the Quran and he was Sahibul Sharia. He is the owner of the Sharia, meaning he is the manager of the Sharia. He is the one who is implementing it, right? Good. Now Allah, all I ask you is this. Tell me. When Rasulullah is leaving, are you going to appoint someone else in his place to enforce the law, to implement the law, or not? When Rasulullah is leaving us, and he left us, so at that time, are you going to appoint someone to enforce this law or not? If you're not going to appoint someone, then Allah, just like you sent the Quran with him, please ask him to take it back also. Because if you leave it in our hands, we will make ground beef out of it. We will make mincemeat out of it. Nothing will remain of the Quran. Allah, if you are going to send this law, then make sure that someone is there to enforce that law, to be in charge of that law. Otherwise, that law is useless for us. Take it back. It's better it goes back. It'll have at least more izzat and more respect. But if you're going to leave it here, make sure someone is here to look after it. And that's why you see Allah is saying, do not worry. I won't leave this law without a sahib, without someone in charge of it. That's why Rasulullah, before he left the Quran with us, he left the Sahib al-Quran and the one in charge of the Quran before that. That's why we see that before he left the Quran, he left someone in charge of it. That's why in Ghadir he said, Man kuntu mawla, fahada aliyun mawla, that Ali is your wali after me. After saying that, then he said, Inni tarikun fikum uttakalain. No, I won't leave the Quran like this. Of course I know Allah knows more than us. If we can understand that the Quran without having an executor is useless, this law is useless, then Allah also knows that. That's why before he left the Quran, he appointed Ali. He said, Ali will be first, then the Quran will be there. Why? Because the Quran will never be in a time, never be without someone who's in charge of it. This law will have always have someone in charge of it. Now you understood that. Now Ali took that authority from Rasulullah. Now Ali has the authority to rule or not. Allah, if that authority was only with Rasulullah and not with Imam Ali, then what's the use of this law again? If he cannot implement this law, take it back. It's better. Take it back. We don't need it. Really, there are many laws over here that we're already implementing. Even with the fact that there's sahib, there's so much disrespect to your law. Just imagine without a sahib, what will happen to that shariat? So you left this in the hand of Ali. Ali left it in the hand of Hassan. Hassan left it in the hand of Hussein. And it went forward from there. Are you with me now? It went forward from there. Every period there was a Sahibul Amr, someone who's there to implement the law. Now it came to Imam Zaman. Salawat ala Muhammad. Now it came to the last Imam. Imam, you're going in ghaibat. Wait, where are you going? Let me ask him one question. Imam, where are you going? I'm going in ghaibat. You're going in ghaibat. You won't be with us. Yes, we won't. I won't be with you. So if you're not going to be with us, why are you leaving this Quran behind? Oh, this is Allah's law. Who's going to implement it? Who's going to be in charge of it? Who's going to enforce it? Or should we say that the Quran is finished until you come back? That this Quran is useless and garbage until you come back? Tell us now, if you're leaving, are you going to leave someone behind who's going to be in charge of this or not? If no one's going to be in charge of this, then just like Rasulullah left, he should have taken the Quran then. You should also take the Quran with you and this law with you. Because what's the use of this law? For us to read and say, wah wah and ahsantum when we are reciting Quran? Or is it to implement this amongst mankind and do Islah of mankind? If it's meant for Islah, it needs someone who's going to implement it. I'm asking a question to Imam. Tell me, Imam. If you're going in ghaibat, if you're going to go away from us, who's going to look after this law? Who's going to enforce this law? Or are you saying that until your ghaibat is not done, this law is useless, do not implement it, this is just garbage, you can put it on your shelf, and when I come back, inshallah, I'll ask you to take it out and wipe the dust off it? Ask the question to yourself. Ask it for yourself, very clearly. I'm just asking you a logical question, my friends. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave someone here? Are you going to appoint someone here? Or are you going to tell us, at least make some standards for us? What are you going to do? Are you going to leave someone here to enforce the law? Or are you going to take it? If you are going to leave the Quran with us, then also give us that authority that will be in charge of that Quran. My friends, this is, and if that person is left amongst us, if the Quran is here, then there has to be someone in charge of it. And if there is someone in charge of it, then tell me, does he have the right to rule or not? Does he have the same right of haqqe hukumat or not? Does he have the right or not to rule? If he doesn't have the right, then this Quran is useless, it's garbage. Throw it away. It's useless. What's the use of the Quran if it's not going to be implemented, if it's not going to be nafiz? There has to be someone who's doing nufudh of the Quran and nafidh of the Quran. If there is no such thing, then the Quran should be useless, should be with Imam until you come back. When you come back, inshallah, we will establish the Quran again and the constitution. Until then, we'll follow the man-made laws that we are following anyway. My friends, this is the basis of Wilayat-e-Faqih. This is the basis of Wilayat-e-Faqih. If the faqih, if Allah, now I will explain later, where did the faqih and how is it faqih? Why alim? I will explain that inshallah later. But today just understand what is the basis of wilayat al-faqih. The basis of wilayat al-faqih is anyone who doesn't believe in wilayat al-faqih believes that the shariat is love and lahab right now. Anyone who says I don't believe in wilayat al-faqih is saying this shariat is useless right now, we don't need to practice it. There's no need to implement it. Why? Because Allah didn't care anything to leave someone in charge of it. My friends, this is wilayat faqih. We have that faqih has to have wilayat in order to implement the Quran and in order to enforce the Quran on the people and the laws of Islam on the people. And if you're saying that no, he doesn't, then it means that this law is love until the Imam comes back. This law is useless until the Imam comes back. This is the basis, my friends. The first haqqe hukumat of Islam is called Risalat, Prophethood. The second haqqe hukumat is called Imamat. And the third haqqe hukumat is called Wilayat. This is Wilayat-e-Faqih, the basis of Wilayat-e-Faqih. Where does it come from? It comes from the fact that if the Quran is there, then the Sahibul Quran and the Sahibul Nufuz has to be there. In whatever form, he has to be there. If he's not there, then the Quran shouldn't be here. It shouldn't be here. If it's in the hand of our people, what are we doing? Just reading it? Having fun with it? No, there has to be enforcement. There has to be authority. There has to be wilayat to enforce Allah's law. And who gave that wilayat to him? We gave that wilayat to him, or did Allah give wilayat to him? If we give this wilayat, we can take it back. He said, we don't want it, you know. But if this wilayat is from Allah because Quran is here, then now that person has the wilayat from Allah to enforce the Quran and the laws of the Quran. Now who that person has to be, what are his qualifications, what are these things, inshallah I will explain that in the later speeches. But today I just wanted to explain to you the basis of wilayat faqih. What is the basis of wilayat faqih? This is a right, this is a wilayat from Allah. It has to be there if the Quran is here. And the proof of that is the Quran itself. The Quran is on our shelf here. Just because the Quran is on our shelf over here is a proof that someone has to be here to enforce it. That is the proof of wilayat-e-faqih. Just the Quran itself is proof of wilayat-e-faqih. Why is the Quran here? Because if there was no one who had wilayat over enforcing it, then the Quran shouldn't be here also. Right? This is the proof of wilayat-e-faqih. This is the basis, and from here we'll go on and find out how Allah has given this wilayat and why. And obviously when I'm speaking just in terms of logic right now, sort of reasoning. I'm not even trying to go to ayat and hadith right now. So that you understand this through reasoning, why this is right. Why this is the basis of Islam. Right now it is an authority from Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path and the wisdom to understand His guidance. Haste to the reappearance of our Imam, make us His helper when He comes. Wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat ala Muhammad. Okay, any questions? Yes, sir. Yes. Every Shia, obviously every Shia ulama believes in wilayat al-faqih. They have to believe in wilayat al-faqih because it is only rational and aqal that you believe in wilayat al-faqih. Later on when I speak, I'll explain where the differences arise. But the belief in wilayat of alam has to be there. If it's not there, then you know what? There's no marja'iyyah there. On what basis is the marja giving a fatwa? On what basis are we expected to obey that fatwa? If he doesn't have wilayat, on what basis is he giving a fatwa? You see, the basis of him giving iftah and istiftah is wilayat. If he doesn't have wilayat, then what's he doing? He's wasting his time. The reason, he does this so that we can obey it. And it's wajib on us to obey for what? What wilayat? If he doesn't have wilayat on us, why are we obeying him? You see, the fact that the basis of marja'iyyah is wilayat. He has to have wilayat. If he doesn't have wilayat, then he's not a marja'. Then the whole idea of marja'iyyah is finished. So everyone has to believe in wilayat. The alim has wilayat over jahil. This is how Allah has mentioned in the Quran. Inshallah, explain that later. Inshallah. Yes.
Who is the wilayat that you right now at this moment?
Wilayat al-faqih obviously right now is Ayatollah Khamenei, and I will mention later why. And it's not that because you take a name, the issue is that why? What is the reason? There's reasoning behind it. It's not something that, okay, you know, this happened. No. Reasoning behind it, and explain that reasoning to you. And that reasoning has to be Islamic. You see, again, when Rasulullah was there, it was known as Wilayat al-Rasul. Rasulullah's Wilayat. When Aimma were there, it was known as Wilayat al-Imam. Right? The Wilayat of the Imam. After the Imams, then it's known as Wilayat al-Faqih. Maybe Wilayat of the Faqih, the Alim, the most knowledgeable. Right? This is what it's known as. And it was always there. In the time of the Imams, yes. As long as we had marja'iyyat, we had to have it. Right? As long as we have not changed. And I'll explain more, inshallah, as we say, right? I just opened the subject today. And I'll take you step by step. We have one more week, don't worry, Ramadan. Right? And I'll take you step by step. Don't worry, I won't rush you. I won't rush you, I'll take it step by step so each and everything that you understand and grasp for your own self and comprehend it for your own self, what it is. Inshallah. Yes, please. No, the issue is that they had the wilayat from Allah.
Okay.
See, they had wilayat from Allah. Allah gave them the authority. In the hakimiyyah. He said, you have the right to rule. Now, if we didn't accept them, it's our fault. Like for example, Imam Hassan. He had wilayat. But who accepted him? Everyone left him. So that doesn't mean he doesn't have wilayat. The wilayat is there from Allah. Or Imam Ali. He had wilayat from Allah. But who accepted him? The issue is that having the wilayah from Allah doesn't mean that you're accepted by the people also. Right? It's a unique situation where the people decide to go to the right wali and make him the wali. This is a unique situation.
Just one more time. Is it just one person or can it be multiple?
No, it has to be one.
It has to be one.
Yes. I'll explain that inshallah when we get there.
One more question. If one person is wilayat kafi, and the other person has a lot of knowledge, but doesn't follow from this manual, how that work out?
I'll explain that when it comes. I want you to understand the basis first, without going into specifics, because these questions you're asking have basis for the answer. So you need to understand the foundation first. When you understand the foundation, then these will be easier for me to answer these questions. Once you understand those foundations, when you understand the foundations, then you know, oh, this is where it fits in. That's where it fits in, you know? Otherwise, you're asking questions, now I have to go back and explain the foundation to you. Right? So inshallah, as said, you know, we will make sure that the end of Ramadan is as exciting as the beginning. Salaam alaikum. And there's history behind it also, you need to understand. It's not the first time it happened. There are histories where ulama became authorities in the past also. Right? But it wasn't long lasting. It was for a short amount of time and it was only for a little area. But the issue is that the concept has to be there in Islam. If it's not there in Islam, as I said, then the whole Sharia is useless there.
No,
the wilayah has always been there, but it's never been implemented, it's never been realized yet. Until now, you see that it's actually being put into practice, and people have accepted it. Before, it wasn't that case, people were unaware of it. So, yes, it will happen. But inshallah, yes sir.
Is that person a
masoom? No, I'll explain that tomorrow, inshallah. As I said, no one other than Imams are masoom. And inshallah, I'll explain that tomorrow, how that works. Salaam alaikum.